evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap. We're actually totally professional and quiet just before we went to air. Who the hell is that? Nice. Nice. Welcome to Holy
Crap. Flying crap crash here.
You know what? We'll fix it in post, Alan. It's your fault. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people I knew from high school who were on Facebook were posting things that were factually wrong. And that's the way that they wanted to do Facebook. And complained when I did Facebook my way, which was to complain and correct them. And they didn't like that. Part of this is follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Triple all over the place. You can find me under that name under pretty much any social media. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. We got a little bit of a change in the lineup tonight. It may change. We'll see how this plays out for tonight. Starting off in the top left-hand corner of North America, good evening, Dallin.
Good evening. Finally online here.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. More on that later. Anyways, good evening, folks. Online known as Dallin, born and raised in North Central Canada to a Lutheran family, although church wasn't much more than go every Sunday, meet my Sunday school friends, and that was about it. My parents always encouraged me to keep an open mind, never stop learning, and above all, always ask questions. This has served me very well, my personal professional life thus far. And up until recently, I was a very live and let live kind of guy, until I started seeing all the village idiots I used to laugh at, red televangelists, start to be taken a hell of a lot more seriously south of the border, and I realized that something ain't right, and it's time to take a side. And so I did.
Moving to the right across North America, just above north of me, good morning, Heretic Woman.
Good morning. And, of course, I'm in Ontario, Canada. We are still above freezing, just in case anybody was wondering.
Lucky you.
It sucks to be in Calgary. I come from the United Church of Canada, which is actually pretty liberal as far as churches go. But as we all do stupid things in high school, my stupid thing in high school was to join a Calvinist sect, which I really don't recommend, not one of my brighter decisions. But I became an atheist 26 years ago. Life is much better on that side, and I spend as much time as I can try to irritate people who don't use reason and who have silly imaginary friends, and tend to kind of podcast all over the place.
That's an understatement. By the way, according to Android, right now it sucks to be in Yellowknife at -6. That's in real temperatures for those of you that don't understand about all that, by the way.
I am going to make that phone call one of these days.
Just... I would wager to say it sucks to be in Yellowknife, period, regardless of the temperature, but...
It does. We'll explain about that in a couple of moments. At the moment, moving south of me, over to Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey.
What's so good about it? And hey, you leave my imaginary friends alone. I'll take them where I can get them. Hi, everybody. My name's Joe, otherwise known as the Comic Relief around here. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I spent 8 years in the United States military, and I am now living in Pittsburgh as a designer, all-around do-it-yourselfer, and atheist.
Moving across the pond over to England. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shujin. I'm Chris, based in the north of England, where I work as... working tech support. I've always been sort of skeptical / atheist, and like Dallin, until a few years ago, I was pretty much left the issue on one side until I started seeing more about what was happening in the world and the amount of people that were getting hurt, and decided it was time to start speaking up.
Okay, and moving south through the channel, over to France. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name's Joseph, originally from London, Ontario, Canada, and now living in Paris, France. And I've always been into critical thinking, and I do everything I can to promote it.
Okay. And as I mentioned, we got a little bit of a change up. Not quite sure where Bridget is. We're still kind of waiting. She's got her invite. Unreno Tech is currently an unknown, which is okay. Every once in a while, things happen that way. But joining us this week, and wow, there's a story behind that that you guys are just going to have to ask about later. Joining us tonight, officially, Ms. Kelly Wright. Good morning, hon. Or good evening, actually, for you.
Good, yeah, evening. Well, I mean, it's kind of morning because it's after midnight. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, right now it's 11:76 p.m. for you.
Right, yeah, that's, yeah. So, yeah, we talked about that because I can't compute days after midnight because I'm an idiot. But my name is Callie Wright. I do a podcast called The Gaytheist Manifesto where we talk about the intersection of atheist and LGBT activism. I've been an atheist since I was 16 or 17-ish. I was kind of a lukewarm Pentecostal Christian, not really a super oppressive environment that I grew up, and I don't know if I would ever even really call myself a true believer. Yeah, I figured out I was an atheist when I was 16 or 17. Wasn't really that big of a deal. It was kind of an intellectual journey. Came out as transgender a little over 2 years ago. And I've been doing LGBT activism and atheist activism basically ever since then. So that's what I do.
And for complete disclosure, Callie and I have been fortunate enough to play or be on Jake Farwarton's show, The Imaginary Friend Show, a couple of times, and we've had some good time. We just before the show started mentioned about something that she's. I don't know if you're exactly proud of it. I think you should be.
I'm so proud of it. It's my legacy, Shuja.
Yes,
it's my legacy. So yeah,
totally. So we've had fun with that. Who was calling my name?
Your imaginary friend.
You know, funny you should say it that way. Great. See how this is going to play out. Anyway, for those of you that are watching live, of course, thank you very kindly. The Crap Crew invites you because we are ready, willing to believe you. There's got to be a better way. I got to figure a way of making that work right. We'll come up with something. So if you're watching live, of course, at this point, thank you very kindly for your time. So if you'd like to take advantage of the question and answer system, please, by all means, feel free to do so. After a little while, if there's social stuff in there, of course, I'll end up deleting it just to clear stuff up for actual questions, but I'll leave social stuff up there for a little while so we can all, you know, say a quick hi one way or another. So tonight, Katie, we see you over there. Good evening. Beth, nice to see you, hon. And for all of you that are watching live, of course, or even after the fact, thank you very much. If you're listening on the podcast feed, we get around to it whenever we get around to it. I mean, it's a volunteer thing. What the hell you want? You're getting what you paid for, so you know what? Quit complaining. Nobody's really complaining, you know, whatever the hell. Anyway, I'm going to get us started over here. For those of you that might be listening in a way where you can actually see about grabbing a little something to drink with, you might want to do that. I'll tell you why in a couple of moments. Actually, in about 6 minutes. But for the moment, with apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, your five-minute freestyle starts right now. There we go. So I titled this one, True and F. Now, there's a reason for that. And no, it's not a Power 10 episode, so no, I'm not going to be saying anything wrong. But we got to talking with Aaron Ra last week, and there's a piece that kind of came up for me. I had a weird feeling about something, and I didn't bring it up at the time because it really wasn't well fleshed out in my head. But I decided for myself, after really thinking for a little while, there is always the dichotomy of true and false that we've always heard. And as we know full well, there are millions upon millions of ways for something to be false or wrong, or more precisely to be incorrect versus typically only one way to be correct. And we don't see this any more clearly than with mathematics. Mathematics, it just works or it doesn't. Now, you can get to the right answer the wrong way. I mean, that happens. But to consistently work, it's got to follow a specific pattern. So I wanted to talk about two words that I, well, a word, actually, that I don't want to use anymore. I don't want to use the word true when discussing stuff, especially theological stuff anymore. I don't want to be dealing with that word anymore because I'm sick of it. I have heard, we have all heard, on so many occasions from the guys at the Atheist Experience of Austin or any of the other podcasts where you get people to call in or take email stuff. I mean, we would, but we, you know, nobody does anything for us, or whatever. I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, I know the truth. And no, I'm not picking on I Know the Truth video series. Don't worry about that. It's not that. It's got nothing to do with that. But I'm sick and tired of us using the term truth or true when we're dealing with these people, because it's not quite the appropriate word, in my opinion. And again, this is just my opinion. I would much rather use a different word. Instead of true and F for false, I would much rather stop using the word true or truth and instead use the word fact. Fact is a wonderful word. It's a wonderful concept. It is a very, very solid concept. It is a very singular term for a very singular item. It is a piece of knowledge. That's important. That is so super important. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to end up rehashing about the story, the kid who had built the clock, because it's a piece about that story that I really want to get to. That we haven't yet. But facts are important. If there's one thing that my wife taught me in business, data is data. But what you do with it can lie. Facts don't lie. How you present it can be used to spin anything. But you can't argue facts. Now, there are some people that will try. For instance, climate denialism. Yeah, you know what? There's a trend and it's just going down. And we've got a picture from this day and compared to this day. And the ice caps are different sizes. So everything's just hunky-dory fine. And then you find out, wait a minute, you're taking pictures that are not comparable because you're taking a static image at a certain time when you're talking about a length of time when something happens. Or you're talking about a much shorter amount of time. You're talking about a 15-month stretch instead of 5 years. You want to talk about how you acquire the fact. That's a fun discussion because that's easy enough to slap somebody's ass. But if you want to argue a fact, an actual nugget of information, that's real hard to get around. So I'm not going to use truth anymore. I'm not going to say I've got the truth. I'm not going to say I've got something that's true. I'm going to say I have a fact. And if somebody wants to go ahead and try to argue a fact with me, you know what? You're welcome to go ahead and try and do that. Because when all is said and done, facts don't lie. You want to try to spin it, go right ahead. But I got news for you. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. What has that got to do with anything? Do you know what it's like getting on a tire swing and curling yourself around and around and around and around until you spin out on that thing? I'm really good at not getting dizzy. Spin away. This is episode number 88. On the docket, Your Honor, Kaliwa! Yes, yes, I know, I know. It took a while for me to actually understand what the whole Kalama thing, and I just fine. It just seemed like the right time to finally use it. So
it took me a second, but I got it. Da-da-da.
Exactly. For those of you that get the reference, yes. Great. You know, those good. Don't tell the rest of everybody else, because I want them to feel like idiots the same as I was.
What's really funny is my 9-year-old son would get the reference.
Excellent.
Just because I'm a really good dad.
You're starting them off right.
I have a cat straight Skippy. That too.
I'm going to go watch those movies again now.
Great. And by the way, since we've finally got him over here, good evening, Unrenowned Tech. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody real quick.
Oh, sure, when I got stuff in mouth.
Not
always
the first
when
time.
I'm eating.
You know, I'm gonna start put like superimposed little pictures of Pepper Potts over there with you. Come on, this isn't the most embarrassing thing you've ever caught me doing.
All right, I'm Unrenowned Tech. I'm an atheist. I was born in a mixed religious background. Practiced two different religions. Studied a bunch more. Came to the conclusion that they're all full of shit. And I've been happier ever since.
Good enough.
Except for all crap that the other people do in the world in because of their indoctrination or their name of religion or because the religion tells them to do something. Like stoning to death a woman who, you know, didn't want her prearranged marriage. So they buried her neck in dirt and threw rocks at her head while she was screaming and crying until she was dead. Because, you know, religion.
Yeah. Funny you should go there because we got a couple of pieces of...
Hey, Chris, you may have typed this up to the waist, but for this person, they buried her up to her neck.
Okay. Anyway, a couple pieces of housekeeping before we get down to everything as usual. Heretic Woman, go ahead and check in with you. As of this time, how are things going over there in Saudi Arabia?
Rafe is still in prison. We have not heard anything else about lashes resuming as yet, but that's rumors still rumbling.
Fair enough. So as of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 4 months, 22 days since Rafe Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crimes. Our thoughts are with you and your family, and we're hoping for you to come on back soon. And even though it is not quite time for it officially on the calendar, the images are making the circulations at this point anyway. It's very close in on to the date when we lost one of our most prominent and most outspoken atheists and anti-theists. So with so everybody knows, yes, I actually did go out and get a single serving of Johnny Walker Black, which was a lot of fun. I should let you know there's a lot of really cool stuff out there on the shelves.
My mom is a big fan of Johnny Walker Black straight.
There you go. So, to you, Hitch. Thank
to the
you.
Hitch slap.
Thank you for paving part of the way. We'll see if we can do the same for everybody else. Skull.
And if there really is a hell, at least we're going in good company.
I didn't bring it. I didn't bring any alcohol with me, but at least I have his other favorite companion.
His other buddies.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Oh my god.
Yep. Now I remember why I don't ever have any hard alcohols. Here we go. That was great.
Yeah,
grow on you, man.
I wonder if this is the sensation that you're supposed to have when you get hitch slapped. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Last week, of course, we did tell us to...
if you can find one that's aged for about 10 years,
Bill's
man.
Dad.
Yeah, we did the toast to Bill's dad last week, and that one wasn't so bad. Maybe it's because the glass I'm using this time was maybe twice the size, so twice the shot, and...
Well, there you go.
Well, guys, if I ever come to the world, and you ever want to toast me in after whatever heck comes... you guys have sure got to up your game because for me, it'd be 151.
Actually, I think for you, I would quaff a mug of Stone's Arrogant Bastard.
I'd come back to life just to see that.
Well, see, I did find a place, thanks to one of my fiance's friends, I did find a place in Pittsburgh that actually sells it. So next time I'm out that way... Yeah.
Speaking of arrogant bastards, you know, my local secular humanist group just invited me to join the club. I don't think they know I do this show. Otherwise, they wouldn't invite me.
Hey, if it wasn't for the fact that I do a writing group every Tuesday, I'd still be going back to Skeptics in the Pub every week, every month.
And if memory serves, I do believe it was Groucho Marx who said, I would never be in a club that would want me as a member.
But actually, I am going to give them, I think I'm going to give them a try, because I found out that a lot of the things that they do is, like, they do the adopt the highway stuff, and they go and they clean up the litter. They go to people's houses who have had, you know, weather damage from storms and things like that. And they build decks, they repair housing, you know, fix the furniture, move stuff around for people who are disabled, things like that. So it's like, you know, this is a kind of group that does things that I'd be looking to do with a group, as long as they're not affiliated with the church. And so I think I'm going to give them a shot. I'll let you know how it works out.
Definitely.
All right. Yeah. So we'll look forward to that. So let's get you guys started over here. I had invited Callie. Actually, I think it was Tuesday I sent you that message originally, because I've been kind of tossing this one around in my head for a little bit and kind of wondering when she would do it. And then it came a matter of, I should really do this. Oh, it might be kind of last minute getting in touch with Callie. And I sent her a message directly over on Twitter. And before I got the second message over to her, she was, yes, which was great. So we're going to be talking about the way that public opinion, excuse me, has changed so immensely in very, very recent time for the LGBTQI community.
And in some ways not immensely. And,
yeah.
And what state you live in, Kansas.
Yeah. Denial. And
not the river in Egypt.
We'll go with that.
Leave the Egyptians out of this.
Yes.
And they're too busy with their big grain silos, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes, I went there. Internet.
Their landing base.
Still with it.
Their landing base for the alien apocalypse.
Yeah, let me get to that in a second. So how things have changed around, and what still has yet to be changed. And before we get any much further onto that, you know, Dallin, I think it's so funny. Here you are, you're picking on us over here on the U.S. for our politics, and for people like Mr. Carson, who is almost as hysterical funny for different reasons, when up over there in Canada land, you guys have got your prime minister who's just like, because it's 2015.
Yes, mic drop. It's 2015.
That was like the best mic drop I've ever heard.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm glad someone else from south of the border actually got that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, our Minister of Transportation is a freaking astronaut. Like,
whoa, wait a minute. So he knows how to move things.
You know, that's what I've noticed a lot. Like, okay, I'm not trying to soapbox politically here. I think that breaks one of the rules or something. But the fact that so many of the ministers, at least from what I've read so far,
they know
there's relevance to them versus the title. Yes. Like
the Minister of Sport and Persons with Disabilities is a visually impaired Paralympian. Like, how, like, yeah, it doesn't get better than that.
Well, actually, you know what, Heretic Woman, it does. There was one. The first announcement, the very first appointment, a Minister of Science.
Science. Yes, you're right. And then we also have the Minister of, what was it, Development and Scientific Technology or something. We've got two.
Yeah,
there's one that's just science, and then there's another one who's like science and other stuff.
You know, everybody has to be represented. Do they have a Minister of Woo?
No.
No,
thankfully no.
And half of the people who were sworn in did not opt out of saying, so help me God.
They opted out. 50%.
Yeah, come on, guys. That's a ridiculous way to run a country, you know, appointing people with relevant qualifications to jobs, you know. How the hell is that going to work out?
Chris, you got a little sarcasm on there.
My favorite reaction to this whole thing was it was like gender balance cabinet coincides with mysterious 5,000% increase in men who are worried about merit based
qualifications. I think that was a satire piece, but still that was pretty good.
Oh, it most definitely was.
Yeah. Hey,
but it's just really funny.
I'm a huge supporter of like meritocracy. Like, if you're gonna do the job, If you do the job, you should get paid for the job. And if you do the job well, you should get paid well. I'm all for it.
You know what? That works out perfect. That's a great opening. By the way, I will make sure that the link to the press release moment that that Dallin had sent over to me, which, oh my God, that was priceless. Thank you. I will make sure that that's in the show notes for everybody, and we'll kind of work from there. So there's a good piece right there. Callie, I'm going to make that the second piece. The second piece is going to be employment, because we know full well that there are some areas where that's just not cool, and some places where it's just perfectly fine. So we'll say that for the second piece, because we need to get a baseline right about at this point. So as you've said, you're over there in Ohio. How are things going for you right now where you are in Ohio? How's the landscape looking?
Well, things look great for me personally because I'm lucky and I'm middle class and relatively privileged. For those who aren't, it's not so great. It's absolutely amazing how hard people, even in my own community, fight me on things that benefit our community.
Okay, before you go any further, by the way, which community are you referring to specifically?
The LGBT community, and more specifically the trans community.
Okay.
So I'm on the planning committee for a day called the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And for those who don't know what it is, it's an event every year where we basically memorialize all the trans people that year who have lost their lives to hate violence. And I got a look at the program, and an organization that I work with, we got the program and we were like, wow, so there's like a Christian opening prayer and a message about hope in the middle of this from a Christian minister. Like, have we given any thought to like maybe having people of other religions represented or secular people represented in this whole thing at all? And you would think that I was advocating child sacrifice. And like, you know, I say that as an exaggeration, but I mean, it was amazing to me the hostility that I encountered by suggesting, not just as the atheist in the room saying there shouldn't be religion in this at all, but saying like, why don't we get an interfaith group of people that's actually representative of our community together to do this thing? And the level of hostility that I found by suggesting that, it was absolutely outrageous to me. There's a conference going on here that's the entire subject is transgender healthcare. And the two trans people who do trans healthcare aren't being allowed to speak there.
Wait a minute. Two. One, two, that's it.
Well, that's transgender healthcare providers that are actually trans themselves. There are more people who provide that sort of healthcare. But the people who have that life experience, as well as the medical expertise, aren't being allowed to participate.
Why not? Good
question on my part, but like, why not?
Why?
Well, one is because one of them works for the hospital that's presenting the conference, so they're afraid of a conflict of interest, which sounds like the biggest bullshit excuse to me ever. Because like, you work for the hospital that's presenting it. If they're worried about you saying something wrong, just tell them not to say this one wrong thing. Like you're like the most, you're gonna be the most qualified person in the room to speak about this. So why aren't you speaking on it?
Yeah, no kidding.
And honestly, what it really comes down to is politics. The person running it is a person who has sort of a God complex. In fairness, she does good work. She helps a lot of people who might not have otherwise gotten help. And, you know, there are lots and lots of good things that come from the program that she runs and the organization that she is in, but she kind of sees it as her fiefdom. And if anyone wants to come in and say anything other than, you know, what she wants to do, then she's kind of got, you know, right of refusal to kind of push them out. So, you know, it's a lot of different things like that that are the kind of, like, stuff like that's never going to make the news headlines. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we can talk about things like, you know, we can talk about big companies adding, trans-inclusive healthcare to their insurance plans, which is amazing. Kroger, which is a huge grocery company, I think they're throughout most of the United States, not all of the United States, but they're a huge grocery store chain, and they're actually based in Cincinnati, where I live. They just added trans-inclusive healthcare to their insurance, which is amazing.
What is that?
Basically, your insurance covers hormones, and it covers surgeries, and it covers therapy for transition-related stuff. Because previously, and in some places still, even after the Affordable Care Act, it was actually still okay for insurance plans to have a blanket exemption for anything related to gender transition. So you can go see a therapist for depression, and we'll cover that. If you're going to see a therapist for depression related to your being transgender, we won't cover that. And they'll do crazy things when you have an official diagnosis of gender dysphoria. They'll do crazy things to work themselves out of denying health care. There's a ton of stories, but there's two that I think are like the most egregious that I've heard of. One is there was a trans woman who played softball in an LGBT softball league, and she broke her arm in the course of playing softball, as happens when you play sports. And because it was an LGBT softball league, her insurance company ruled that as part of her transition and refused to cover it. And wow. If you think that's bad. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they're basically just taking advantage of people's ignorance to just say nope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're taking advantage of legalese. A lawyer's best friend,
because,
and an insurance company's best friend.
Right, because even post-Obamacare, it wasn't ruled straight away that you couldn't discriminate against someone for their gender identity, so it was still perfectly okay to have an exemption in there for that. So the worst one of these stories that I heard was a lady was fighting her insurance company to get her care covered, her transition-related care covered. And because of the stress of that and not being able to afford all of this stuff, she actually had a minor heart attack. And the insurance company acknowledged that they were responsible for the heart attack, so they could turn around and deny her insurance coverage for it being transition-related, because they were fighting over transition-related care.
Wow.
Well, they see transitional-related care as a high expense, much like back when they used to fight to not treat people who were diagnosed with leukemia. And look at all the lawsuits that had to happen before the insurance companies started going, okay, we can't really get away with this too much anymore. Maybe one out of five now instead of all of them.
Well, and the good thing is, apparently at some point early next year, the federal government is going to announce a new set of regulations that actually brings gender identity under the umbrella of sex discrimination in Obamacare. So insurance companies won't be able to discriminate anymore, which is awesome.
And to speak to that, in Canada, gender identity has been brought into, I know, employment protections and like in the Bill of Rights, the what they call the protected, how do they word it? I don't want to say class because that's not right, but like, you know, like protected classification, I guess. That's still not.
That's kind of how they word it in the U.S. is they call them like a protected class.
Yeah, and that's been 3 or 4 years now, I think. And I noticed it specifically when I went and took human resources in college last year, because my previous job, I used to do hiring in a call center, and that wasn't spelled out specifically, although my company certainly operated in that manner, but it wasn't specifically in the law. But a year later, when I took human resources, it was in all of the legal stuff. When I took employment law, it was all in there, and gender identity was very prominently mentioned. So that's progress and, over here.
And what's so funny is, and what's so funny is, I mean, yes, transition-related care can be expensive, especially when you start talking about surgeries and stuff. But if you look at the overall cost to a company for covering these things, because first of all, not all trans people want surgery in the first place. And we're like up to 5% of the population. Like the highest estimate that I have ever seen is like 5-ish percent. So like, I mean, if you do the math on how much it costs a company in their insurance plans to cover this thing, I mean, it's basically nothing. I mean, it's less than a rounding error when you're talking about companies that do hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue each year. You know what I mean? I mean, it's less than a rounding error. And to cover something that is like an immeasurable improvement in the quality of life for people who seek those things out,
It's partly an erroneous perception that it's just a, quote, cosmetic thing?
Oh, 100%. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. People don't think it's medically necessary, and they don't want to think that it's medically necessary. As far as those people are concerned, it's 100% cosmetic. It's 100% elective. And, I mean, spend 10 minutes talking to a trans woman who's been through SRS and then ask yourself if that's something you would put yourself through if you didn't absolutely have to.
Absolutely.
I've talked to people who do not acknowledge somebody being trans until because of their ignorance. They refuse to accept somebody's trans until that person goes through the surgery, because obviously if they don't go through the surgery, then it must not really be a problem.
Yeah, and before you get on to that, by the way, just make sure that everybody is on board on this. In this particular case, SRS, if I remember correctly, is sex reassignment surgery, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Wanted to make sure that I had that right, because it's one of those things. I still don't see myself as really that great of a host, so I try to be very mindful that if there's something that I don't recognize instantly, like right off the bat, yeah, it's probably a good idea to make sure that we catch it. I mean, I know what the term is.
No, that's good stuff because I live in this world literally every day. So sometimes it's like I have to realize that sometimes I'm talking to people who don't, and that's okay. That's why I'm here. I start rattling off like 201 and 301 stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, me, if I were to say Leo, some people might think that I was talking about lions in the Latin classifications. I might be talking about the constellation, one of the stars. I could be talking to somebody from NASA and talking about low Earth orbit, and nobody would know any different. Right. Scott Manley, I'm looking at you, you bastard.
But Tech, going back to what you said, that's something that you'll find even within the transgender community, which is even more frustrating. There are people who just plain won't accept you if you don't at least profess the want or the need to pursue surgery. Like, if it's something that you can't afford or you haven't had the chance to do yet, like, they're not going to, like, totally ostracize you, but it's always assumed that that's the goal, and that's what they're pushing toward, and that's what the assumption is. So you start to see, and in some places, and this is not, it's not a pervasive, like, everywhere you go kind of problem, but you sort of start to see hierarchies form based on, you know, who has the most stereotypically masculine or feminine presentation, who's been on hormones the longest, who's had the most surgeries, who wants the most surgeries, who, like, passes as their gender the best, and all of those sorts of things. And it's all of this stupid stuff that crops up even within the community. And
who's had the proper implants and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Callie, please forgive me. I'm going to be completely indelicate. So you guys know full well, normally we try to go to PG-13. I may kind of strip that a little bit here. And again, please forgive me for being totally indelicate.
No, you're fine.
Look, we're basically talking about transgender dick waving. I mean, if we're going to go ahead and call it for what it is, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And then,
we call it, in the community, we call it T3ing someone, and T3 stands for transier than thou.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually, wow, that's triple T.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of triple D with, you know, diners, drive-ins, and dives, but triple T, that's a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah.
I would say, looking at this completely from the outside, in a way, it's both reassuring and disappointing at the same time that the trans community appears no different from any other community in having
right,
these,
I hear that.
hierarchies. Of people bitching at each other and wanting to be like one up on everyone else.
And it's disappointed that
so many communities, yeah, so many communities like have bullshit politics and do the best to tear themselves apart based on crap like this.
That usually means there's something wrong, because when you start doing that, that means you're starting to form a bubble. And that kind of goes against what you're trying to do.
But isn't that kind of the nature of the beast, though? I mean, you look at the atheist community. That's got some serious fragments in it.
You'll see the same thing everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so is that, like, Joseph, would you think that would be almost human nature, that when we start to form communities like this, suddenly we start to get schism because we're people?
It's actually the clan mentality that has to go. That's, in my opinion. You know, you always see this happen.
We evolved as a tribal species. You know, I mean, like it's sort of built into us to see other people in terms of in groups and out groups. And actually, I did a talk at a Unitarian Universalist church about this like two Sundays ago. And I talk about these things. They were a great audience.
Yeah, the Unitarians usually are. I've been to several of their services.
And you know, my whole thing is, if you know, because obviously everyone experiences adversity and tragedy in their lives, but I think we can probably all agree that systemic oppression and discrimination is something that's completely separate from that. And it's even more disheartening when you see people who very much do experience systemic oppression and discrimination turn around and do that to other people who have experienced that for the same reasons.
We see that in children who are bullied by adults, or where there's power struggles within the household because certain power and authority has been given to an older child over the younger child, you know, we saw that with the Duggars, but what people won't realize is that, you know, when they see when kids end up bullying other kids in schools, it's because, you know, they have a loss of sense of control, there's power struggles, there's not boundaries, or the boundaries are constantly shifting. And when you do that to a person long enough, they're going to get the results of what you're talking about.
Well, and they have to get control from somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, the pop culture reference that always springs to mind is, anybody's a Pink Floyd fan from the Wall video, the movie, where the professor likes to humiliate and beat on the kids, and then when he goes home, his wife is a complete abusive, you know, bitch, and you know, humiliates him. So when he goes somewhere where he's in charge of weaker people than him, he manifests that on them because that's how he feels control and power back.
Yeah, it's sort of a way to reclaim the power that was taken from you in another place. That actually makes a lot of sense. You can kind of try and create that sort of power dynamic so you can take it back for yourself.
It kind of perpetuates itself because the prior abuse teaches you how to be abusive when you are in the presence of the weaker party.
Fact that you feel abused, that's a demonstration of that power. So for you, it works. So
Now there's two things about this I want to hit real quickly, because we've got a question that's been pending over here. Two items. One, I can't stand Pink Floyd. Now,
have you tried to dance to that?
Hold on.
How do you dance to Pink Floyd?
You know,
Joseph, it's not Pink Floyd is not what you dance to, it's what you smoke at a pot to.
Or
Pink Floyd is when you have sex.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little smoke in a pot, you know?
Anyway, I was told back in high school. Yes, sir?
I was going to say, can I cover Beth's question? Because there's a bit that I want to add to it.
Well, yes, I'm going to get to that in just a second. All right. Pink Floyd can't stand because, as it was explained to me, music is an art. Art's purpose is to evoke an emotional response from someone. Pink Floyd's music creeps me the hell out.
Is that not an emotional response, though?
Yep. Thank you.
The what? Yeah.
I'm being real.
Hey, Susan?
I'm not a Pink Floyd fan. I don't like them, but I'm just saying. Like.
Bye, Felicia. Somebody got it. Somebody got it.
Okay, I have no idea. So for me, I guess Pink Floyd just doesn't speak to me in any terms other than being afraid I'm going to walk into an orb spider nest face first in the dark in Australia. Okay?
How do you know that's not what they were going for? I mean...
Have you watched ISS footage? You know, the...
Oh, yes.
Now, listen to Pink Floyd when you're watching that. You'll get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, you mean, all right. Is he flying overhead? Mm. I actually got to see that 1 month. My son was with me, and we're watching it, and I was like, you see that? Yeah, that's a space station. That's a man-made object in orbit flying over your head at high speeds with people on it, and you get to see it with the naked eye. How cool is that? Miles
an hour. Yeah, and the other part was... because of part of what was being mentioned about, my intention very soon, very, very soon, is to talk about various power dynamics in relationships. For instance, and very specifically, I want to see about getting Ms. Ashley from No Religion Required to talk about the differences between an abusive relationship and ones that, out of context, might seem to be. Now, there are certain terminologies. I'll save that for a little bit later, but I want you guys to know that that is something that's still in the back of my mind that I want to get to. So we'll be seeing about getting around to all of that. Now, Beth had gone ahead. It may be. I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out just yet. I got to get in touch with her and ask. But anyway, Beth had asked, quote, and this is kind of jumping back a little bit because we kind of got down a couple of different pieces. I didn't want to stop us just yet. How could they even justify any religious undertones to a program as such? Now, this was making reference to what Callie was talking about the Day of Remembrance and the conference talk and such. So, Callie, this one's right in your wheelhouse. Your opinion, why would they even have?
Because there are lots of trans people who are Christian. you know, as little sense as that makes to me.
there are
lots of people who plainly are, and the folks.
Unwritten Hotel. So, hold on a second, because we're gonna get to Chris, we're gonna get to Heretic Woman, then we'll get to you. Go ahead, Callie, finish that.
The thing to keep in mind is I think sometimes groups, you ask yourself, like, you know, how can there be a gay Christian? How can there be a trans Christian? And I hear that, and I agree with that. But the thing to be careful of is I think sometimes groups like women, like trans people, like gay people, I think get kind of held to an unfair double standard because, you know, the fact that we're women, the fact that we're trans, the fact that we're queer does not make us any less susceptible to religious indoctrination. And if you read the Bible also just tells you that you're a horrible person simply for being a human being and being born in the first place. So while I hear the, how can a woman be Christian? How can a trans person be a Christian? I hear that and I agree with that. I also think that it's important to not sort of step over and have sort of unfair expectations of those folks in terms of, you know, they grow up and, you know, they're vulnerable and religion is the only thing that they have to hold on to, or it's what they were taught as kids, so it's the only thing that makes sense to them and that kind of stuff. You know, those mitigating circumstances don't necessarily change one's propensity for religious indoctrination and sometimes might even heighten it. So I think it's important if we're, you know, I mean, if we want to have that discussion about why people who are marginalized and oppressed by Christianity sometimes cling to it, I think there's definitely some nuance in that conversation that I think often gets lost. But I mean, like I said, the general justification is that, one, there are lots of trans people who identify as Christian, and two, there's one of the support organizations that's helping put this together is very specifically a group of transgender Christian folks who get together and have like their own like trans Christian support group, and they're very active in the community and they help put events and stuff together. And they're two of those folks are on the planning committee, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of that whole thing. And to be honest, even as an atheist, I don't begrudge them that. What I begrudge them is the exclusion of any other viewpoint. You know, there's an interfaith pride council in Cincinnati that's made up of affirming clergy who are Muslim, who are Hindu, who are Buddhist, who are, you know, of all other religions. And I want all of them involved, and I want a secular person involved, because that's what a true representation of our community is. So that's my rant.
Go, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, on that same note, do you think that having some buy-in from religious organizations to events like this helps spread maybe trans like awareness and understanding within the wider religious communities? How do you feel about that as an atheist?
I'm not sure that I could give an honest answer to that because I'm so far removed from those communities. I mean, you know, people who are not accepting of gay and trans people will see religious people who are as not being really Christian generally in the first place. So I would guess that the answer is probably no, but I wouldn't want to give like a very firm, like specific answer just because, you know, I'm not active in those communities and I don't see those dynamics. Because I can see the value of someone who is coming from like, you believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, we have a disagreement, let's talk about this because we speak generally the same language. Like, I could see the value of a conversation like that, like hypothetically, but I don't know if that actually ever works out that way in reality.
And like the church I grew up in, they are very, very liberal as far as churches go. And they were among the first, if not the first in Canada, to accept gay clergy. And they'd had female ministers forever, like since the 1930s. And when they did that, you know, it's pretty... I was out of the church by then, but just remembering what they were like, it would be pretty much a non-issue, but there was still a faction that left when that happened. So even in that most, you know, the most liberal church that we have in the whole bloody country, there was still a group of them that was like, nope, that's too far, not going there. Like, women, okay, but gay people, nope. You know?
Well, and you even find people who are like, you know, we'll invite them into our congregation and we'll love them, but not in a position of power ever. So, right. Like, you see that whole thing, too.
Because that's still see them, they're acceptable, but they're still deeply flawed, so we can't have them, you know, ministering to anybody, but we'll put up with you because, you know, we have to.
There's that element of pity that I don't like.
Yeah, and exactly.
I think that's reflective of society as a whole, because if you have to seek refuge in a group that thinks of you as a lower person, you know, if that's where you seek refuge, then something's wrong in greater society.
There's something wrong in greater society. Somebody had to say it.
I was waiting for the rest, and then I was like, oh yeah, I see what you did there.
So, Tech, you had something that you wanted to say besides the cute quip right there.
Well, Callie already hit it.
Okay. Then there's a piece about this that I want to make sure that we specifically touch base on. You remember earlier I was talking about facts. Well, the facts in this particular case are Christianity as a whole makes up 75-ish% of the acknowledged population here in the U.S. 5%.
Some form.
Yes. 5% as a generous number, I believe is what you said, Callie, would make up the trans community. It's really hard for me to look at those numbers and say that the trans community isn't going to have a good portion of it, small as it might be, not be Christian of some form or other. So, I mean, that to me, those numbers just make sense. Our philosophies, of course, we look at it and go, why would you? Like you said, but it the numbers just make sense. It's hard to argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes, I mean, it again, perfectly sensible. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. It would be far better for there to be a much larger diversity than to just have just the one. Because, yeah, 75%, three quarters, sure, okay. But there's still a whole bunch of other people out there that are different from you. It's really nice to go ahead and say, you're not allowed to be in my sandbox because you're not wearing a red ribbon in your hair. Something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of going to an underlying thing, but you know, humans, we tend to think that other humans think the same way we do, but no two humans see the world in exactly the same way. And I think as soon as we understand that, we're going to see a lot less categorization. I don't know what to call it.
No, that's a good kind of way of putting it.
Segregation.
No, I think you're right, because I think it's sort of inborn into us to want to make snap judgments about people and situations, because you know, when we were living in the jungle and we hear a rustling in the grass, we have to assume that that's something that's going to kill us, because if we don't, we might end up dead. You know what I mean? So like, there's definitely, you know, evolutionary justification for that. So, I mean, one, recognizing that, I think, is important. But two, recognizing that that's a part of you and that's a thing that you do, and figuring out how to make that not color the way that you treat other people.
Yeah, overcoming that.
I don't think anyone is ever going to get to a point where you're going to meet someone and you're not going to make snap judgments and you're not going to have preconceptions and assumptions about a person. The key is to not let those things color how you treat that person, and to say, you know, who are you? How do you identify? What are your goals? What do you want in life? And I'm going to do my best to meet you on that level.
Yeah. It's one thing to start off a conversation with those preconceptions, but it's another thing to try to make reality conform to your preconception.
An important first step is recognizing that you are making that kind of judgment.
Yeah,
instantly, and to question it as fast as possible.
Yeah,
yeah. That leads to something I wanted to specifically get to as that second part that I was referring to. As was mentioned, the idea of God, now I'm running into the problem that I had last week also, is trying to figure out how to word what it is that I want to get out. Because
brain farts.
Well, no. It's not a matter of brain farts. It's a matter of that I try very carefully to craft the concept that I want out. And on the fly, that doesn't always work that easily. And that's part of the reason why I've tried to keep the show the way that I have. We're lay people for the most part, except for a couple of very specific pieces of information. We're lay people. So I want to make sure that I'm getting out as properly as possible what I want everybody to make sure that they're on board for on this one. Since the idea of, and I maybe use a completely inaccurate term, so please forgive me for a minute. I believe that I may be wrong, but is the term sexual dysphoria? Am I thinking of the right?
Gender dysphoria.
Gender dysphoria. Thank you.
In reference to trans people, it's gender dysphoria. Yeah.
Okay, gender dysphoria. Okay, thank you. If I'm not mistaken, parts of that are going to be looked at for the 14th Amendment in the U.S. I believe it is for basically. Keeping everybody on a level playing field, that everybody gets treated equally across the board as far as everything is concerned, as far as the law is concerned. And this is something that's you know, some are saying, okay, it should be. Some are saying, why the hell should we even bother? You've heard so many horror stories that you've dealt with, that you've talked through, about people who have been in great areas where everything's just gone fine for them, especially employment-wise, housing-wise, and then the complete opposite side of the equation where people are just like, how the F is this even still happening here? Why is this happening to me? Because why? Because I'm different, and the locality has said we can treat you like crap any way that we want to. How much of this have you heard, helped with in some way or other, and where do you think it's been going, good or bad so far on this? I know it's a big piece. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. And the thing that's tough is, you know, we all know that laws in themselves aren't solutions to problems, right? If we pass a blanket non-discrimination law that includes gender identity, that does not fix problems. That's not going to make everyone in society automatically not bigoted.
Right.
You know, that definitely confers benefits, and it's worth it. And I will fight tooth and nail for non-discrimination legislation. But I think the other piece that we really have to do, and, you know, most of what I do is kind of focused around that. I don't really do a ton of like political activism or anything like that. Like what I think it's about for me is just making the community visible so people can understand, like, you know, it's super easy. Okay. So for example, you talked earlier about this amazing sea change in opinion, at least in the United States, when it comes to, you know, whether or not gay people deserve equality and specifically marriage in the United States. And if you look at those opinion polls and, you know, they ask, if you've changed your mind on this in the past however many years, why? And the answer is overwhelmingly that I found out that someone I loved was gay. I got to know someone who was gay. I work with someone who is gay. You know, it's not that someone made this brilliant, coherent, logical argument and changed my mind. It's that I got to know somebody. And
they learned that they were human just like you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another piece about that too. I want to stick into here really quickly. A couple months ago, actually, at this point, we got the chance to talk with Sam Mulvey from Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey over there in Washington State. And the thing that he was doing was specifically called the Atheist Visibility Movement. And for exactly that reason, humanize it, make it yep. Right in somebody's face where it's, you're one of them too. Okay, you're a nice person. Why do we think everybody's bad that way?
Yeah,
it sounds like you're basically talking about the same thing, Cal.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's literally the exact same thing. Like, I used to have these debates with my grandma before I came out, and I would be arguing with her over, you know, homosexuality or, you know, why a pride parade should be allowed to happen and all this kind of stuff. And she would be saying all of these things about, you know, gay people and about people who support gay people. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, how much differently would you feel if you realized that you were talking about me? You know, like, there were so many times where I almost came out like that to my grandma. Like, You realize we're discussing me right now. We're not discussing this far-off group of other people that you don't know and have never met. You're talking about me, your grandchild that you helped raise, that you've supported for however many years, you know, however old I was when we were having the conversation. You're talking about someone that you know and love. And, you know, unfortunately, that hasn't really changed her mind very much. But in general, I think it often does. You know, you hear lots of stories about people recognize, you know, how, you know, they're against it at first, but then they recognize, like, wow, like, you seem really happy. And it's like, well, yeah, no shit, I'm happy. Because, like, I'm actually living my life as the person that I really am and not repressing myself. And, you know, people kind of come around then.
And you get to spend part of your nights on a shit-tier show like ours. I mean, what's not to love?
You need to stop, what is it?
Self-deprecation?
Yes, thank you. My tongue is not going to be able to wrap around that phrase, but Sujin, you need to stop doing what Dallin just told. Said.
I know for what we're not. Yeah, I know for what we're not. It's just a matter of I like the joke at this point. What I was gonna ask though was normally I would try to turn off the mic so that we're not recorded and not going live for it, but if the answer is dead silence, that's completely understandable. Considering what you were just saying, Cal, what do you think your grandma's reaction would have been if you had gone ahead and done it at that point?
That's a good question. Because to be honest, the reaction that I actually got when I came out was not the reaction that I expected. And it was initially more positive than I thought. But I think it was just because, at that point, it didn't entail her doing anything other than saying, well, like, I love you no matter what. But when it came time to, like, so my name's Callie now, and you use she, her pronouns for me now, that's when problems started. When it actually involves a change in behavior on the part of the other person, as opposed to them just saying, like, well, I love you no matter what. That's kind of when that's when you run into problems. Yeah. So, I don't know.
That's because that's when the paradigm shifts at that point.
And I've heard it, right. Stories too, where say like a gay person comes out and the parent's like, well, you know, I guess that's okay as long as you don't do it in front of me, or, you know, that sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the reaction.
That was the reaction that I got from my aunt, basically, was that, you know, I love you and I don't, you know, I don't want you to not be around me or anything like that, but I'll never call you Callie and I'll never use the pronouns that you want. And I'll never accept you as that, but I love you no matter what.
And yeah, so they love you, but deny who you are.
No matter what has a creepy asterisk next to it, some conditions apply, which...
It's called cognitive dissonance, I think?
Yeah.
Well, that requires thought, and I don't think there's much thought going on there.
That's also fair.
And this conversation you were having with your grandmother, it's funny, there's one thing that sticks with me, is that that you're saying, well, should I have come out? I mean, for any thinking person, I mean, the fact that you're having that conversation, doesn't that already say something?
Well, it depends on the tone at the time, I think, really. I mean, there is the discussion. No matter how the discussion goes, the fact that there is discussion is one thing, but the meta question around it all is, what is it that's actually going on? The whole why? Mm-hmm. Because for me, if it's a matter of somebody is having the conversation with you just because you're family and you've got to be nice because it's family and you got to listen because it's family, that's all one thing. But if it's a matter of, I want to understand, I think that's really the much more important conversation, the much more important meta piece of it all. Cal, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go.
No, you're totally right. And that was, you know, that was the conversation I had with my mom, because my mom struggled with it at first. And she never let her struggling with it get in the way of her treating me the way that I wish to be treated, and supporting me and being there for me through this whole thing, despite whatever reservations she had, because that's what a good parent does, at least in my opinion. But you know, those are the conversations that we had. My mom would just keep saying, like, I want to understand, but I just don't. Like, help me understand. And I'll have that conversation every day for a year, you know what I mean, to help somebody understand, because I know that she's coming up from a place where she honestly wants to understand what's going on in my head and what's going on in my life, because she wants to support me and she wants me to be happy. Yeah. She doesn't want to ask me those questions so she can respond and tell me why I'm wrong.
she can't understand. She can't be in your head. So she just has to accept the fact that you're different. And that's it. And that's the...
Jose, that's... I get what you're saying is that we can never, you know, understand someone else's life experience as they understand it themselves.
Or how they see the world.
But you can seek to understand what someone's doing, where they're going in their life, what issues are confronting them to some degree. And just to... In a way, I know this is probably not what you're saying, but to take it to the extreme, to say that, you know, we can never understand, even if we may not ever get it perfectly, it doesn't invalidate the attempt.
Oh, no, I didn't say it invalidated it.
No.
It's just that it's just this basic fear of different that everybody has, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a piece that I think is probably a really good piece to kind of dive into. The difference that you're talking about at this point, Callie, is like you said, like we've all said, you can't be in somebody else's head. I mean, we've talked about that before. It's just simply not possible. You can get concepts across. You can get an idea across to somebody to try to explain what you're feeling, but even that's, feelings are not something that we're really quantifiable, and not something that's easily discerned out to anybody. I know the answer has got to be a yes, but family of choice, I have to imagine, has been far more accepting, far more understanding, far more willing to let you lead the conversation and the discussion and the teaching than has family of blood, unfortunately.
In terms of my immediate family, there's been no difference. You know, like I said, my mom initially struggled with it, but she has done everything that she ever possibly could to be supportive of me and, you know, to try and understand what I'm going through and to try and help me and be there for me. And the same goes for my brother and my sister. They have been absolutely amazing to me through this whole thing. But, you know, family of choice, obviously, you know, that goes along with it too, especially getting out and getting involved in the trans community and, you know, finding people who are going down the same road I am and who have been, you know, a little further down than me and who kind of want the same things from their transition or already have those things that I want. So I can kind of look to them for guidance and advice. Like, that's obviously been vital, but I've actually been really, really fortunate, you know, in that, you know, like I said, even though my mom initially struggled with it, she's never been anything other than loving and supportive. And, you know, my brother and my sister, I mean, I really funny story. I'll tell a short version. When I came out to my sister, I sent her a text message and I was going to like ask her to go to dinner with me one night so I could tell her. And I was like, hey, like, are you going to be around tomorrow? I want to take you out to dinner. I got something I want to talk to you about. And she was like, well, what do you want to talk to me about? And I was like, eh, it's not really a text message conversation. She was like, I hate it when people do this. Just tell me. And I was like, okay. So I told her and I didn't get a response for like 5 minutes. And I was thinking to myself, like, my little sister is by far, aside from me, like the most liberal person in the family. And I'm like, if there was anyone I was not really afraid to tell, it was her. And I didn't get a response for like 5 minutes and I'm freaking out. And then I get a text back saying, oh, hey, sorry, Dad came home and I was talking to him for a minute. And I thought to myself, like, I just told you the biggest secret I'll ever have in my life, and you're having a chat with Dad. Awesome.
Which you got put on hold, is what happened.
But that's kind of
exactly hold while we wait for you.
But
well, it's no big deal to you.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what it was. It turned out that it was so not a big deal to her, she didn't even realize what a big deal it was to me. Like, it was like me telling her, like, I'm going blonde. You know what I mean? Like, it was exactly that big of a deal to her. So that whole thing has been awesome.
Oh, yeah. But,
oh, and going back to making a comment real quick on the understanding thing, I've come up with a few sort of parallel life experiences that some people have, or at least like thought experiments that might kind of bring people to sort of at least begin to understand like what gender dysphoria feels like. Literally put yourself in your head, in your bed, you go to sleep at night, you wake up tomorrow morning and you have a penis attached to your elbow. That's really funny, but think about how wrong that would feel, and think about how awful it would feel, and how desperate to get rid of it you would be. And if you can imagine that scenario, that's what gender dysphoria, generally speaking, kind of feels like.
Oh, I wouldn't describe it like that. It, like having a penis on your elbow, that's something.
If I had a penis on my elbow, I would enter porn.
And I'm pretty sure the idea of having a penis on your elbow in Japan, probably not such a bad thing on the trains, but it's a whole...
The problem with that argument, Callie, is the group that you're presenting the argument to.
I was going to say, okay, so you've totally blown apart my thought experiment. Thanks, I
appreciate it. We're sorry, but...
It had to.
The thought experiment worked, just that, you know, we're all... Yeah. We're just perps. All a certain way, you know?
Yeah, we're all a bunch of pervs. Yeah, Joey.
Yeah.
I would just like to say that I kept my mouth shut for that one.
No, you kept your mute.
Well, because they were talking about penises, you always keep your mouth shut.
They didn't now.
Joseph, do you still have those pictures of me with the water bottle on my head?
I think you look perfectly normal. What's wrong with that?
I thought so.
Yeah.
It works for the bun.
Looks perfectly normal with a dick hanging over her head?
I can see going to the supermarket like that.
It was a unidick.
And there goes her rating.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Joe, who are we kidding? Rating? What rating? There goes our last few like viewers.
We can only gain viewers.
Beth is still there, but negative.
What is viewers of which you speak?
I think Beth is still there, but she sees me every day, so, you know.
And really, the only people that were getting at this point are the ones that just wanted to see Callie's beautiful face. There you go. You have to think. Not helping right now with our viewership. Right now. Zero. That's really good. Anyway, so the back end of the whole thing about how much better could it get, should it get at this point? Let me throw something past you really quickly, because it's a wonderful story, because it was me and my wife way back when, and I don't know if it might help out towards something. Years and years and years ago, because, well, you know, she's been dead for 10 years. It's got to be a little bit longer than that. My wife and I, we were going to be going rock climbing just over the border into Canada with somebody from the IT department that we used to work at the time. And we're driving, we're in the front seat, he's in the back seat, and he's just like, so we're going to be climbing with a couple of guys that I know. And we're like, okay, sure, no problem. I mean, makes perfect sense. And he pauses for a second, and they're a couple. Okay, sure, yeah, no problem. By the way, this is like 95-ish. And he pauses for a second, and he's like, they're gay. And, you know, I'm driving, so, you know, just kind of look over at each other. Okay. Pause. I'm gay, too. Now, the piece about this that was really important for me was that, remember, I'm driving. I look over at my wife. She kind of looks over at me. I look back at the road, and we both, you know, doing our thing, and it's like,
meh.
And?
Yeah.
And the way that he just suddenly deflated from holding his breath while we're all driving around the backside of Buffalo on the way to the Peace Bridge, that has got to be almost the equivalent of what you were going through for those 5 minutes waiting for your little sister, and it's like... It's a non-issue. That's got to be both a really great moment and a why the hell did you put me through those 5 minutes moment.
Oh, Kelly, and I understand that I've just started listening to your show, and I've just got through to about the episode where you cover off ReasonCon. I don't understand that you had a fairly similar reaction of a non-issue there.
Yep.
And
yeah, it was awesome because. Sir, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's because you were just the best hugger there. How could we
have anything else? it's cool because, you know, when you go into environments like those, you never know if you're going to be, I mean, even, you know, if people are generally accepting, like, you always worry, like, am I going to be the token trans person? Like, is literally the only reason anyone here is interested in me because I'm trans? Like, do they not really care about me as a person, but I'm just interesting, you know? I worry about that a lot. And I didn't run into any of that at all. Like, when the conversation came up, it was a great conversation because, you know, people ask me why I'm there, and it's because I do a podcast that surrounds those issues. So, like, that's obviously a conversation that I'm going to have, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like the only reason anyone cared about me was because of that. And it was a really amazing experience. And that's been – I mean, I've been to two other cons since then, and I've had basically the same experience there too. So yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah. By the way, Beth, my apologies. I've been trying to follow along with what's being said, keep it in mind, and try to figure your questions in the Q&A and try to properly digest it at the same time. I'm having a little bit of a hard time of it tonight. My apologies. It's not that you chop liver.
Beth,
like you put
Beth,
over there.
You got to use smaller words. He forgets to chew.
I think it was the point where you said you had no listeners yet. That's where the chop liver comes in. See, I know my girl.
Hey, I like chop liver.
It's definitely one of
I like chop liver, too. Especially on the Ritz. A slice of hard-boiled egg on the top. Oh,
you know, that's because you're all weird and you're just strange over here. Now, Beth, it's because on my screen right now, I currently show viewers as zero. Now, we've said before on many an occasion, Google Hangouts is a weird animal, so it doesn't always conform to what's going on around us, unfortunately. So it's not that you chop liver. Thank you. It's nice to have at least one person that likes what we're doing and stays up to all stupid hour of the night because, you know.
Wait a second. If Beth is watching, how can it be zero?
Because
Google is stupid.
Because it's 2015.
Because Beth doesn't count.
No,
that's just Google being an asshole, not me.
Yeah, when I was watching Heretic's show one Monday night, it said viewers, zero. But I was watching and logged in through YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, so that happened. I'm sorry. I know there are people who listen. I know there are people who are podcasting through it occasionally. And you know, I don't follow those numbers. I just... There's a whole other thing with that. You know what? Actually, that actually brings us into something really important then to kind of pull this together. Callie, you've been doing the Gaytheist Manifesto for roughly how long at this point? How many episodes? How long?
First episode was released on February 18th this year.
And you've been doing it roughly one a month, week, day, hour?
I did it bi-weekly for like 2 months, and then after that I went weekly, and I've been going weekly ever since. We've got episode 39 as the next episode we have.
That's a good number right there.
He's catching up to me, and I've been at this for almost a year. Another week or something.
Yeah, Dallin 39. That's a good number right there, eh?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one.
Sorry, there's an inside joke. I'll tell everybody about that in a little bit. All right, but the point being is that actually the reason why I wanted to ask the cutesy, you know, every week, every day, every hour, Heretic Woman isn't that the way that Cash started out trying to do every day, and that just fell to shit.
Well, it was more weekly, but yeah.
Yeah, well, he was trying to do it like every day or some such idiotic.
That is crazy. I mean, I did years ago, I started a podcast, and it was just something I was going to do on a lark just to see if I could. And I tried to keep to a weekly schedule, and just that, I was shocked at actually how much work it was.
Yeah, me too.
I bet you weren't doing like a 6-hour show like Ash has got a tendency to do.
No, that's the thing. Like here I was just trying to do, like, it was maybe 30 minutes, just me spouting off stuff, which would probably get me crucified nowadays, no pun intended. But just to compress that, you know, get a couple of songs in there, that kind of stuff, just for that per week was a killer. And I think about people like Cash, like you yourself, Heretic Woman, like, you know, one of the hardest working ladies on the internet, if I do say so myself. I mean, I am shocked at how many, at the kind of work people are willing to put in to produce something like that, especially produce it like even more than once a week. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, see, like, the reason... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, Ken and company over at Forbidden Fruit, they do twice a week, 3 hours ago.
Yeah. Now, see, there's going to be a payoff for this, I promise. The reason why we are the way that we are, our show, is that we don't prep, really. I mean, I come up with whatever it is that we're going to be talking about. I grab whoever I can, and it's a very off-the-cuff kind of thing. Partly because we pros, it's what I can do, it's what we can do, and truth be told, there's a certain honesty to me about being able to say, we don't necessarily know the subject entirely, but this is what we've heard and what we've discussed, and oh, you know better than, okay, we'll look up this stuff, all right, cool, all right, we learned something new, and we get perspective, and everybody shares off, and okay, that's all well and good enough like that.
Well, and that's partly why I love it, because I get to show up without having to do anything.
Yeah. Except for you to see a lot of
really good.
Yes. Oh, Callie, meet Callie.
Hi.
That's the Callie kitty. Well, and that's Arno, but this is Callie. If you can see her, because it's sort of
black. Yeah,
yeah. She's there.
Okay, so the payoff that I wanted to get with this is, how much work are you actually going into for your show? And I will admit, please forgive me, I've got more on my plate than what I can actually listen to for the most part, so I haven't been able to listen into yours. Matter of fact, I've stopped listening to George Robb's because I'm catching up on so many others at this point to try and help myself along with, you know, learning stuff. And I feel guilty as hell about that. How much work is actually going into producing for yourself that, and what can you offer up as your mileage may vary for people that maybe want to become part of the visibility at this point to help along for everybody else?
It depends on the episode, because there are certain episodes where, you know, I choose a topic I want to talk about, and I think of, like, here are two people that I would love to have this discussion with, and basically I open up a Google Doc, write out, like, 5 or 6 bullet points, and that's all the prep that gets done for the show. Mm-hmm. And I'll do, you know, 3 or 4 hours of editing afterwards sometimes, depending on, because a lot of times... You know, you'll have, because I'm kind of, I have an audio production degree, so I've got, like, actual studio gear and stuff.
Very cool.
And so I actually bring a Skype feed in through my iPad and through my phone, so I can have my guests on different tracks. The reason being, if somebody's wearing, like, an iPad mic, like I am, and, you know, it's, like, rubbing on their shirt and making all that stupid crazy noise, I can, like, edit all that crap out.
Yeah, just a little bit, thanks. Dallin's
we'll, our we'll fix it in post.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Just for the record, that kind of stuff I can't get rid of. I don't quite have the equipment for that.
But
I definitely have the equipment from my microphone.
Tech.
To your
two
corner.
Words. No, two words.
I'm a lonely man.
Not helping. So, Callie, please, by all means, please continue before I have to go ahead and send him off to Australia.
But certain certain episodes, like, for example, not this coming week's episode, but the next week's episode is going to be my episode for the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And when it's all said and done, I'll probably have put 30 or 40 hours worth of work into that episode. Because I'm doing a lot of things, like I'm gathering, and if any of you would like to contribute to this, hit me up afterwards, but I'm gathering basically as many people who are, you know, active in the atheist community as possible to give, you know, like just statements of support. Like, you know, I am so-and-so from such-and-such show, and I stand with the transgender community. So, like, I'm editing together a whole big string of those. I'm writing some monologues about, you know, the history of the Day of Remembrance, what it means, how it started, and I'm doing the keynote at this year's ceremony in Cincinnati, and I'm going to read, you know, whatever I end up doing for that speech, I'm going to read that speech. So there's a whole, and one of the things that they do for the Day of Remembrance is they actually read the list of names. And different communities do it differently. Some communities just read the list from the United States. But our community, which is one thing that I think we get right, is we read all the ones from the world that we can find. And there are usually somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 names on the list. And one of the things that I'm doing is I'm having a bunch of my transgender friends who are atheists help me do the reading of names. So that's going to take a whole shit ton of time to edit through. If you're talking about how much time, you know, goes into, you know, to the show, sometimes it takes longer to put it all the places on the internet than it goes to actually make it happen, to actually record the episode. And then sometimes it's a hugely insane, crazy amount of effort. And if you take into account all of the supporting kind of activism stuff that I do, you know, guesting on other shows and, you know, doing guest blogs for people and, you know, doing speaking and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's, I spend probably as much time doing activism as I do doing my day job.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, I've used this joke before when I've done, okay, every year for the last couple of years, I've done a 36-hour radio stream marathon on a weekend for fundraising for Cancer Research Hospital. And I've made this joke before, so you know what? We've already gone through the theoretical PG-13 rating, so you know what? Screw this noise. I got to imagine with how much effort and time you've put into some of this stuff, God, I'm going to be so indelicate, and God, I can't believe I'm about to say this one. You got to be basically sucking off Mr. Coffee left and right in order to get all the caffeine necessary to get everything done some weeks. Or maybe you're just sucking down monsters with that whole 666 number right there.
This is what it is. I have, I'm not joking with you. I don't want to move my camera. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 empty cans of Monster sitting on my desk right now.
You know, I do that. I did that once, and I wound up in the hospital.
Well, and I limit myself to one a day, two if it's really bad. So I'm somewhat could call it moderation.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, and speaking of episodes that take a lot of prep time, because I want to throw this one in here too, because this is something I'm super proud of. I'm also doing a live episode the night of Thanksgiving. Because I was brainstorming episode topics one night, and I thought it would be really cool to do an episode for, specifically people in the atheist and LGBT community who've been rejected by their families, but really anyone who doesn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving to have a place to hang out. So I'm doing a 2-hour live show the night of Thanksgiving from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, where, you know, we're just going to be hanging out. We're talking about family. I'm gonna buy a phone number from Skype so people can call in. And I'm going to have a different guest each half hour. So I'm having JT Eberhard, David Smalley, Ryan Bell, and Hina Dadaboy, all four on for different half hours of the show.
Awesome.
So I'm really, really excited for that show.
Those kinds of get-togethers are absolutely awesome. I know. Well, for a few years, I lived with four other people, at least three of which I knew were gay. And every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, we would actually do an open house. Basically, what happened is one of my roommates found out I knew how to cook a turkey and decided to capitalize on it. But that's my
nice.
Cynic. But
that's your own fault.
Yes, it is. It
that's
is.
Like telling somebody that you work with computers, you're going to go, oh, can you fix it?
Well, I'm actually grateful that everybody in the house was actually in an IT-related field, so I didn't have to worry about that. But, you know, like, the nice. Thing is, Cal, we open up the doors to, like, our friends in our communities who were maybe rejected from their parents, had nowhere to go, maybe felt socially awkward around their relatives or whatever. And we would get anywhere from 16 to 20 people in that place. And we turned it into a bit of a potluck. Okay, like, yeah, we had the massive bird cooking in the oven, but people would bring, you know, all the side dishes, desserts. I actually sat down and what was it? One person brought in about 3 bottles of mead. And
nice.
Well, she wasn't too sure about, you know, how it would be taken over or how well it would be accepted. I just looked at her. I went to my cupboard. I grabbed two of the nicest wine glasses I had, put them down. I'm like, let's go. And we took out about a bottle and a half of that stuff.
But, that'll land you on your ass in a hurry.
Oh, it most certainly did. But, man, did we have fun doing it.
That's my favorite drunk is mead, man.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing, you know, just putting out a gesture like that. It's incredible the kind of... let's just say a lot of good comes your way. I don't want to use the word karma in too much or whatever like that, but yeah, you'd be shocked.
No, I know what you mean, because the whole idea was kind of sparked. Like last year, my mom lived with my grandma. I lived with my grandma for long story series of weird things happening, and this was after, you know, the weirdness with my grandma, the weirdness with my aunt, and like. Basically, Thanksgiving went on upstairs while my mom was upstairs in her bedroom watching Netflix, and I was downstairs in my room sleeping. And I just remember, I mean, that sucked. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I'm an atheist. I don't care about the religious aspect of that thing, but, like, we all want family. We all want community. And, you know, my mom and I were both just so, like, just done. With that whole thing that we didn't want to do anything. And I make a joke, like, oh, I slept through Thanksgiving. But, like, in reality, like, it really hurt to have to do that because I didn't really feel like I had anywhere to go. And, you know, so I figure, I mean, even if just 2 or 3 folks hang out for the live show, we'll have great discussions with the guests and it'll make a great episode of the show for archive. You know what I mean? So, like, it's all good. All over the place. But, you know, I mean, even if only 2 or 3 people, you know, get to hang out and get to feel like, you know, they're not alone for, you know, that 2 hours of that night, then that's, you know, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for anyone outside the US, Thanksgiving this year is 26th of November.
That is correct. That's like over for a while now.
Yeah, wanted to make sure that everybody understood about that. We're talking about Thanksgiving here in the United States. So that is, yes, going to be the 26th of November 2015, making sure that everybody's full aware because it's more than likely that the audio feed on this is not going to come out until well after that, unfortunately. But as far as the show... And the announcements and everything that you're going to be doing, Cal, you should be able to give us a couple of links we can drop into show notes and everything, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we'll make sure that that's available for everybody, even if nothing else, just on the YouTube information, so that we've got that and the event page and such. Which, by the way, for those that don't know, it might be a really, really good idea to join anyway. Which, by the way, I'm sorry that I had to turn you down for my half hour. I'm sure my invitation just got lost somewhere in the mail. I might have written it in the address. It's okay. Right. I completely missed it. But it's for anybody that doesn't know, Kelly's getting to be an old lady that day, so...
Jesus. Come on.
Well, 39 again?
Facebook was going to rat you out anyway, so...
I know.
That's how I know these things. I'll be like, Facebook, thank you.
Yeah.
It's your own damn fault.
Yes, I turned 31 on Thanksgiving.
Oh, good Lord, you're still a pup.
Yeah, I know.
As somebody who's fast approaching 39, there's an irrational number there.
I think there's
a solid 35.
Yeah, see, as it is right now, Shuji and I, we joke about it because I think we're two of the older people on the show, but I have a significantly smaller count of the uncolored hair variety up here, so I'm not as vain about it.
My hair is perfectly finely colored. Thank you. Except for the
whiskey. I know. His Shujin's older than me. I don't know about you.
All right.
Let me take that one offline, okay?
let me do this much. The running joke is that I'm 39 years old and have been for years. Now that is a holdover from Jack Benny.
Yeah.
In actuality, I'm currently approaching four. I am 46 at this point, and I don't mind actually announcing it, and I like putting the joke out first. It's not vanity. I just love the joke more than anything else. So, yeah, 39 again. So, you know, tough shit. But
I'm 2 years younger than he is.
And Heretic Woman is showing off her pussy right now. That's very nice. Yeah. It blends into the background. For those of you that are listening on the audio feed, you know what?
For the record, this ain't coming up.
Yeah.
This is why Jake Farwart will never get me to edit his stuff, because you know what? I look at this, you know, like a 2.5-hour audio file, and okay, since we've already broken it here, I look at that and I just go, you know what? I don't give a shit. Intro, outro, done.
So you said 2 years younger than him, so that means I'm like number 4 on the totem. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to be 45 in a month.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm the young one.
Junior.
No, I'm younger than you.
I know, but you don't count for this
one. It's not your fault.
Out of the old farts, I'm the young one.
Nice. That was a good way to position that.
There's a guy I would love to get on this show just for shits and giggles, would be Old Fart from Old Fart Rants.
I've seen a couple of shorts from him. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he just, I don't know, I find him very entertaining is all.
It's okay. I still have to actually find some pen and paper and actually write that letter off to Neil and see how that works out.
Oh.
I don't think that's really going to work out, but, you know, I can dream big, right?
I can dream big. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying.
Yes, that's very, very true. I'm going to have to remind myself that. All right. Seeing as how we're getting close in on when we gotta go ahead and just wrap this whole damn thing up, let me start off with you, Callie, because as much as we've kind of tackled a lot of the serious pieces and put a lot of comedy with it all, at least I would like to think so, because you know we've been laughing. It could be the alcohol talking. I don't really know at this point. I don't really care. It's just, you know what. The audio is going to go out. I don't care. Intro, outro, fuck, done. It's anyway.
You're not slurring, at least.
No, I'm not. But let me, since you mentioned about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving for my wife was one of the big reasons why we have this house. It was her thing. It was her, that was her holiday, and. Even though she's not here and I haven't hosted here in a long time for reasons, and most folks would understand full well because they've listened for a long time. Let me have everybody close up with this one and drop it for you. How important have you felt it to be for family, I guess, for having the occasions of getting together, for God, again, it's another one of those things I'm not quite sure where to go with it. To have those choice times of having community, of coming together for a special occasion, not just like a skeptics in the pub, like Dallin was mentioning about, because I mean anybody can put that together, but family, right. Family of choice, family of blood, to have a moment to get together. I mean, it's got to be a shit ton to you, because I mean you're going to be doing a live one specifically for that date.
Yeah. God, just you've got me thinking about the story I'm going to tell, and I'm already crying. So, I mean, it's everything, because especially when you're talking about people who have been through a lot of the things that you've been through, and you know, you're part of these communities together because of hardships that you've shared, or you know, passions that you share with other people, and so I'll paint, rather than an academic discussion, I'll paint this picture for you. So the first ever talk that I got to give at an atheist convention was at the Carolina Secular Convention at the beginning of October in Myrtle Beach. And Saturday night, after the convention was over with, we went to the hotel bar. And when I say we, the group of people that I was with, it was me, Shelley Siegel, her manager Natalie, Bobby and Ashley from No Religion Required, Bill and Susie from the Bar I'm Atheist, and Gene Elliott, who organizes ReasonCon, and he does Atheist Avengers.
Oh, that must have been one hell of a group.
It was incredible. And so the entire night, like, Shelley broke out her guitar, and she's just sitting in the middle of the bar singing, and like just a private little concert for all of us. And like we're getting to know the bartender. The bartender is really cool. He loves us. I'm figuring out what mixed drinks are like, because I literally had started drinking like 2 weeks before that. And so at the end of the night, we, you know, it was time, you know, for it to shut everything down, and we had to leave. And we asked the bartender, like, hey, can we have Shelley play one last song before we go? And Shelley has this song called Gratitude, which is about how, you know, even though we're atheists and we don't, you know, believe that there's an afterlife, and, you know, this is the one shot that we get and there's nothing else after this, we can still be grateful for the things that we have in life and for the people that we share life with. And so she sang this song while all of us were standing around in this big circle. We were holding hands, like, God, I'm crying. standing around, holding hands, hugging each other, laughing, and telling each other how much we loved each other. Even the bartender was doing all of this. Like, we'd known this guy for a total of, like, 3 hours.
Nice.
And so that's, you know, I mean, I could tell lots and lots of stories around that, but that's just kind of the most poignant and most recent one. And I'll remember that until the day I die, you know, even if I never get to see those people again, if I stop doing the podcast and disappear off the face of the earth tomorrow, like, I will remember that for the rest of my life. And it made me feel so loved and so included and so affirmed. I still carry that with me, and it was over a month ago. So, you know, to answer your question, it's everything.
And they'll remember the same thing too. And yep. That's kind of what we share.
Yep.
Yeah, Joseph, I mean, finish some more of that thought for yourself to close us off, if you would. I mean, if there's something else that you wanted to add past that too.
No, that was it.
Okay.
Can I just kind of play my earlier comment about Beth? That was kind of a geek thought, just to elaborate, that Beth not counting. It's about the Google algorithm not counting friends of the show and only new viewers.
Oh.
Nothing. Sorry.
So we could have hordes of our subscribers actually watching, but Google would just never acknowledge it.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
Thanks, Google, you colossal dick.
No. Just now with that knowledge, we can look at the zero for viewership and go, you know, it really doesn't matter because the loyal ones are with us. And we can ride that delusion down that river all we want.
They're with us right here. They're with us right here. Yeah.
And how many listeners do you need to qualify for a horde?
I'm going to go with 7.
On a scale from 0 to Warcraft.
I'm a horde 1.
I'm going to go 7. All right, let me see. Is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, look at how many we got already on the show. Perfect. You're a horde. Why? To quote from Eli Bosnick, why? Because fuck you. That's why. It's my horde. It's my show. My rules. Because fuck you. You like that tech, by the way? You like that?
Sure.
That's good. Fine enough. All right. How about for you? Having an opportunity where people get together for these kinds of events, like what Kelly is going to be doing for everybody. How do you view that? That's not helping again.
I'm sorry. I've had a very long weekend, and just the brain's not on fast forward like it usually is.
Okay.
How I see the events are really simple. You know, you can take a Christmas gathering and take all the religion out of it and still have it a beneficial event by bringing people together, having them engage in a celebration, a joyous event together, communication, open communication, sharing. For me,
that's what religion is hijacking.
Right.
I'm talking.
But yeah. when you create an environment like that, you're creating a positive environment. When you put in the whole, you know, well, we do this because we're broken, and we do this because our God demands it, and things like that, you diminish the event, in my opinion. But I'm also an atheist, and I also am anti-theist in many aspects as well. So when you bring a group of people together and it promotes open communication, it promotes understanding and compassion and empathy, I can't see that as a bad thing.
I like it. Chris?
I would say it doesn't necessarily need to be like a recognized special of event or a big conference or anything. Any event which, you know, brings people together on there is great. And you don't need any sort of religion or other things there, but just the opportunity to any opportunity you get to share experiences with people with a common interest or passion or who've had experienced similar issues in their lives is amazing.
Cool. Dallin?
Well, I mean, I already used my story about, you know, when I got together with the people. And, Shijin, you know the community I'm talking about because you and I are both members of it. And some of the connections I've made at those events, like there was one, I'm not going to try to wax this too much. He was relatively new in town, coming out of province. I had met him once through another friend, and of course the invite went out to everybody in the community. He showed up. He brought his sister with them. Both of them were having issues with their family around this time of year. So instead of dealing with the crap there, they came over to my place, had turkey and all the fixings with us, and I am very proud now that both of them consider me very good friends. I consider them very good friends. And actually coming up, I think it's going to be later this month or early next month, that same community is hosting a Christmas party And this is going to be an actual venue, like at a community center. And I was there last year, and it was a potluck thing, and people have been asking me, well, are you going to be there? I'm like, yeah, I'm planning on it. Like, good. Are you bringing those cookies that you brought last year? So I mean, you know, it's so great. You know, I see these people, you know, in the mall or out and about, and I see them, and it's just, it's so great to know that I'm part of that. And, I mean, we take all comers. You know this as well as I do, Shoes. It don't matter. You know, just behave. Keep the open mind, and we're all good. And being able to participate in stuff like that with these communities, it's been awesome. I mean, I still celebrate Christmas with my family, but I also have all these other people that I'm grateful to be around.
Appreciate it. And Heretic Woman?
Formal holidays for me are kind of tainted for a lot of reasons. I participate in some of them mainly for family obligations, but for me it's the informal times that I find more poignant. I do enjoy spending time with my nieces and nephews and that sort of thing, but I kind of prefer that outside of an actual holiday. And I really enjoy meetups. Like today was our monthly meetup, and you know, I enjoy just going and talking, and there seems to be a new person almost every time we go, and that sort of thing, and just getting involved in this community is, I find it more rewarding. As I say, that's probably because the sort of traditional gatherings are kind of tainted for me, and I'm not a huge blood family person either, so that plays into it a bit. But there's a lot of value out there, and I get more out of being that other person for somebody too. Like when somebody comes to a meetup and they're like, oh, finally people that I can relate to, and I like being that person that they can relate to, as opposed to necessarily getting anything out of it for me being there. If that.
So, as I close this all out, this is one of those few times I don't really know what to close this out by discussing really quickly. You know what? I do know what to say. Family of blood. Family of choice. We've heard it on many an occasion how sometimes the two are not the same thing. And we've heard that from Cash, from Atheist on Air before. And it makes perfect sense. We've also heard it from Seth Andrews, from The Thinking Atheist. He has said on many an occasion, just because you're on my family tree, don't mean that you're going to get any kind of obligations out of me. I would rather take somebody who's nice over somebody that happens to be a cousin, if all bets have to be laid out on the table. If you're a good person, you rate a hell of a lot higher than somebody who's on my family tree that isn't. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm sure if you think about it for a while, it makes a lot of sense for you too. Just because you're not related by marriage blood, or even by quote-unquote pseudo-blood, by being a step anything, doesn't make you any much better of a person for somebody else than anybody else out there. Being good is something that's worthwhile. I mean, Dallin and Joey, I'm not quite sure what ended up happening. I didn't check our check to see what might have happened. But Dallin, Joey, and I, on Friday nights, we do a radio stream. And we've mentioned it on many an occasion. And Dallin, I'm pulling you in for a second so that you can go ahead and throw it out there. Mm-hmm. You know the rule of which I speak.
I'm trying to think. We have so many rules. But I think, are we talking rule number zero here?
No, actually, it's Wheaton's rule.
Oh, Wheaton's rule, right. Which contradict... Yeah, that actually contradicts Rule Zero, but yeah, Wheaton's rule...
Yes, it does.
Yeah, if any of you guys have ever heard Radio Free Burrito, Will Wheaton would always sign off with, and I quote, "Don't be a dick."
Wheaton's rule is a very simple rule. And some people have said you might as well just completely wipe out everything on the tablets of Moses and just rewrite it with that. Don't be a dick.
It's a meme out like that.
Yeah. How simple a concept. How sublime a commandment. That's not even a commandment. It's a really good idea. It's somebody's opinion. I don't think that you should be a dick. So come on, don't be a dick. And that's one of the things about the holidays that some people kind of forget. You get caught up in the whole rigmarole of whatever. The stress of cooking. The stress of, oh, I got to go out and I got to go through capitalism after Thanksgiving and get ready for the next big electronic thing or whatever the hell it is. But it's not just for the holidays. It's every day. It's a simple thing. Don't hurt somebody just to hurt them. What the hell is the point? You really want to do that? You really want to do that? There's plenty of opportunity for you to do it in an environment where nobody cares. You want to trash talk somebody? Get in a fighting ring. You want to trash talk? Go ahead. Then you can go ahead and put up or shut up. Of course, you don't want to necessarily get your teeth kicked in now, do you? How about this? How about just once in a while, give a smile. It's a simple thing. Give a handshake to somebody. I make it a point when I do dealings with somebody on a professional basis, a lot of times I will get a handshake because I want to. Because somebody did something good for me. Not that they were doing something necessarily nice, because I'm paying you for your time and energy and effort. But I'll give you a handshake. And there's a cop who's walking a beat. I'll give him a handshake. Not necessarily because he's a cop, but because he's a human being doing a job that's... I've been the son of a cop. I'm the brother of a cop. Cousins. Hell, my youngest brother was in the Air Force. My grandpa. My other cousin. There's nothing wrong with taking an extra 10 seconds to just say, "Have a good day." Telling a delivery driver, "Have a safe drive out there, man." It's not just because it's the holidays. It's because that's the way that I work with everything. And for everybody else that might be in the situation like with Callie's community, the trans, the intersexed, the people who are just having a bad time dealing with the social ramifications of who they are, is it really that difficult to just give them a smile, give them a nod, acknowledging them as being human, being part of the community? There's plenty enough shit out there. Don't add to it. As always, everybody, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed some of what we've had to talk and have found something worthwhile in all of our perspectives. We're not going to be setting any records or winning any awards, but we're still going to keep doing what we're doing. There's a thing, I'll talk about that off the air in a minute. Before we get out of here, of course, I want to thank everybody on the panel. Most especially, I want to thank Callie so very much for your time, hon. You have been wonderful. I cannot wait to find out what kind of an emotional black hole we end up generating when we give each other a hug, because that's just going to be absolutely epic, I think.
Oh, listen, you don't know about my hugs.
Dallas?
I do.
Dallin?
Yeah, she does.
I'll throw a spoiler out there, Kelly. He's short.
You know what, motherfucker? Giraffe is short.
Okay, I'm kidding you not here, okay? The first time Shuji and I actually met face-to-face, now we'd known each other for about 2 years online. Well, he actually never even knew my voice at the time. Just basically, he was out there doing his radio stream. I happened to be listening to the stream. He would set himself up for some of the best jokes ever, and like a good volleyball player, I was the spike, you know, just boom.
Right.
And of course, his first words to be there, you know, yeah, Dallin, yeah, fuck you. So...
That's where you got all that practice from.
Like a great base for a friendship.
Oh, yeah. Joseph, to quote another mutual friend of mine and Chujin's, it gets better. So cut to 2010. We actually had the opportunity. We were both going to be in the same city at the same time. He pulls in. I'd gotten there a few hours prior. And I meet him. Or I look at him. He looks at me. Looks up at me. Literally, he looks up at me and goes... You're a tall fucker, ain't you? His first words.
It's true.
Shujin's taller than me, so there you go.
I'm taller than Lucinda.
I thought everybody was taller than Heretic Woman.
Yeah, there's a good chance I'm taller than all y'all, okay? I'm in the Aaron Ross here, okay?
Yeah, except for Beth is shorter, and Bridget is shorter, and Ashley is shorter, and Lucinda is shorter.
Dude, Lucinda is about as big as a stuffed animal. Who are we kidding? Anyway, we get off topic. You know, the funny part about the whole damn thing is we're still friends. Even though his brain is addled with the lack of oxygen at that altitude, we're still friends. That's the part about it.
For those of you who are benefiting from the audio podcast, I'm right now flipping Shujin the bird.
I'll join in sympathy because, I think me and
Dallin giving him the feather. He doesn't deserve the whole bird.
Now, Tech, what you're doing right there, you're thinking metric, okay?
That's appreciate that. Or minimally, he's thinking digitally. Callie, thank you so much. That's an anatomy joke. God damn it. This is.
I'm tired, god damn it.
You know what? God damn it. I've got brilliant jokes that are going just way past everybody, and nobody cares. You know what? Screw y'all. Fine. Callie, thank you. You've been so wonderful to me. Plug everything.
Oh, God.
Plug all of the things.
Yeah. Do we have time?
Shut up.
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, with Deborah, it'll be another 3 hours.
Yeah, well, Deborah's got that big water bottle, and, you know, if we're going to plug everything, we might have to loosen up some.
Guys, I've resorted to opening getting what's left of the little bottle of Johnny Walker Black now. That's enough. Let's move
on. It's your own fault.
No, actually, that's his.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you guys have forgotten, but I have one less hole than the average woman to plug, so it might be a little bit shorter than you think.
I have an overactive imagination, so...
Wow.
That was cool.
Wow. Game.
So, with
that was like PG-45, right?
I think we just passed it,
yeah.
You know, I honestly think this next Power of 10 is actually going to be the cleanest show we'll have ever done.
Yeah, anyway... Charlie?
My show is The Gay Theist Manifesto. You can search it on Spreaker. You can search it on iTunes. You can search it on all the relevant podcast apps. If you want to see it on the web, it's gaytheistmanifesto.secularmediagroup.com. You can find me on Facebook. I am just Callie Wright. I'm at GayTheistCallie on Twitter. And I think that's it. Join us for the live show November 26th, 7 to 9 p.m. Just go to Spreaker.com and search for the Gay Theist Manifesto, and you'll be able to see the live feed there when it's up. And definitely check out, if any of the stuff that we've talked about here sounds like it's something you want to learn more about, check out the Transgender Day of Remembrance episode. I put my episodes out Thursday mornings, Eastern time, Eastern U.S. time, usually super early morning, and that'll be next, not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday. I mean, this week's episode will be cool too, but so that's all the things.
Yeah, I've got most of those links I'll have ready for the show notes right after this goes to press, so to speak, on the on YouTube. So that'll be all in there for you. So
thank you.
And don't go away, because I want to get you for a few minutes for after show.
Okay.
Joseph, thank you very kindly, of course, for your time. Have a good morning.
You too, sir.
And Chris.
Plug the thing.
Oh, yes. What? Plug the thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Atheist Apocalypse. And yes. I did it. And okay,
that
Paul.
Just means that means that I have one less thing to plug if you do it.
Okay. Yeah, I understand now. I don't know when the next one's airing. And
I think this week. I have to double check. Soon. Very soon.
Okay, we got to work on our plugs.
I know.
We'll see what we can do about that. I'll make sure it's in the notes again, too.
Well, as long as there's no stretching involved, you'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Chris, thank you very kindly. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you, Shijin. It's been great to be here again.
Nothing for you to plug.
Nothing for me to plug this week.
That's fine. You know what? That's you know what?
I'm gonna have to go out and find something to plug.
You know what? That's
we're
fine.
Left we'll, out at this part of the show.
We'll set you up with Nick and Morgan.
Just bring a plug.
we can get him one of those inflatable sheep.
Oh.
No.
After show. After show.
A little into after the show. New Zealand portion here.
We'll after show. We'll deal with that. Unrenowned Tech, thank you very kindly, even though you're late, but at least you're awake. So thank you.
Good night.
Really, that's close. Good enough. That's fine. Let's see what it is. Heretic Woman.
Wanker.
Oh God.
Oh come on! It's Beyond the Trailer Park and Mondays at 9:30 Eastern on YouTube. With Miss Ashley and Beth and myself. I believe I let Beth run things this week, and she's talking about Satanism, I do believe. So that should be, yeah. Mm. That should be interesting. She's been researching like crazy because, you know, rabbit holes and stuff. So it'd be fun to find out what she's got up her sleeve. So there's that, and because, you know, Joseph gave it the college try, but he didn't actually give the URL, which is atheistapocalypse.com.
Yeah, I'm new to this.
Like I say, if he does it, that's one less thing I have to do, but, you know.
You're still my mommy.
I know. But yeah, atheistapocalypse.com. We'll have a new episode out pretty soon. Production-wise, we are wrapping up season one and heading into season two, folks. So keep your ears peeled. Lots of good stuff happening on there.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. Keep your ears peeled is more like it, because it's, you know, a podcast and we don't really have visuals, but, you know, all of that fun stuff. I think that's it for now.
Good enough.
That's not so bad.
Thank you. Dallin. You know what? I don't even want to say it, because, you know, just...
Yeah. I think I've said enough.
What would you like to promote, dear sir?
Actually, unfortunately, this is about the only show that I do that's in this culture. Although, maybe if everyone in this here panel and out in the interwebs could say a prayer for me, I'd really appreciate it. I'm about to send the letter to Paul. He and I had a little chat on Facebook today.
Wait a minute. This is starting to sound suspiciously like a book I don't ever want to hear in my ear holes again. What the fuck are you talking about?
Just relax, okay? No, dovetailing onto what Heretic Woman and Joseph were talking about, Atheist Apocalypse, I went on Facebook today and said, hey, are you still looking? And Paul said, yeah, give me your
of
stuff.
Of course, like, we're always looking.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got the letter here. I'm just about ready to click send. So, who knows? Maybe I'll be able to plug that next time. We'll see.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, there you go, Joseph. You might be off the hook.
For what?
you know what?
We can take turns.
We shared.
Here we go.
This is the goddamn. I try to run such a nice show too, man.
It is a nice show.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You're the ones who pick the people on it, Shujin. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Hey, you knew this was going to be hurting cats when you got into it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice show. It'd be too bad if something happened to it.
Okay, Joseph, I'm just going on record right now. That was the worst Brooklyn-accented type threat I've ever heard in my life.
Actually, it was Jewish, but anyways.
Even worse.
Tech.
And it was a Dwiggit accent.
And seeing you put the former Jew to sleep, like...
That's great. Yeah, that's playing out. Anyway.
Nah, just faking it, guys.
Oh, my you God.
This is not the first. No, I knew you were going to do that.
My snoring is much more consistent than that, and you know it.
Yeah, we do. Cash knows it too, by the way.
Yeah, I never have gotten around to being able to talk to him online and give him an official apology.
And snore with your mouth open. That way we can throw popcorn.
That'll work out just fine.
Pork rinds. He prefer the pork rinds.
Damn straight. The pork rinds covered in bacon bits.
Okay.
And cheese. Don't forget the cheese.
Yeah, pork covered cheese in pork. Whiz. Cheese whiz.
No, pork covered in pork.
Ooh,
drowning.
Cheese whiz. Mm.
We gotta go.
Well, then turn off the freaking feed. You're the one in charge. Act like it.
That's going to be the case then. I can do exactly that. Because I have the power over all of the mute buttons. So everybody, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. Very much so, stay safe. We are, in all truthfulness, everybody out there in the LGBTQI community, please, please be safe. In all honesty and in all truth, as much as I don't like to use that term anymore, speaking on behalf of the panel and, in this particular case, speaking on behalf of Callie, we don't want to hear that you're on that list. Please stay safe. Enjoy yourselves. And for all of you, and of course, for all of you, I say my goodnights. I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you all well. And of course, my lady, Matane Virgin. Love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the next week when we get all together again. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.